Run into Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Development was born. The Agenda 21 conference was in reaction to this. Everybody, welcome to Brown Abbey Live. Sorry about the late start. Abby was stuck in town. I was trying to wait as long as I could, but it looks like she might be joining us shortly. I hope you guys are all doing well. It was a pretty eventful weekend, it seemed, here with Gart. I enjoyed the festivities as much as I'm sure you guys did. I definitely had some FOMO. Yeah, at first in my head, I was like, all right, so it'll be cool. I'll get to enjoy one from the couch instead of being there. Obviously, when you're at one, it's a ton of fun, but it's also, you know, very draining. But man, I don't know, watching it, I was like, man, I wish I was there. So I hope everyone who went had a lot of fun. I hope everyone who watched from home had a lot of fun. I know I did. The premiere of Time of Deceit was awesome. I had a sneak peek of it, so I already knew it was pretty sweet, but man, I'm really psyched about the reception it's been getting. I think it'll be an ultimate red pill, and it was very well done. Ryan and Adam did a really awesome job with that, and yeah, so I'm psyched about that. Overall, it was a pretty good, cool run for Badlands. Thank you guys also who joined us for Raising a Nation this Saturday. That's always fun to hop on there and get to talk a little awakened parenting. But yeah, so today, obviously, we've also been a lot going on in the world, if you will. And one thing that we had set up to start the show with here is a clip that Abby showed me, which is just absolutely phenomenal. Now, this was at a gun control meeting. This is with our good friend David Hogg, who definitely went to Parkland High School and totally wasn't an actor playing a role to bring upon the gun control lobby. Definitely not what he was doing. Totally was just a regular student who was just happened to be there with three different stories all within a freaking week of each other. But I'm going to play this right now, and then maybe we can have a spirited debate on it.
Hi, my name is Lily Tang Williams. Welcome to my Live Free or Die state. Actually, I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, you know, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me, a gun owner tonight, our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government? Can you guarantee that to me?
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP.
Dude. Yay, Abby's here. I feel like that's the great, like, one of the greatest quick little clips ever that you could give to show someone about the horrors of gun control, because that's someone who saw it firsthand, and you just hear it in her voice. She does not want to go back to that.
Yeah, like how she used common sense. She's just like, can you guarantee me that the government will never become a tyrannical government? No. She's like, then the debate is over. Like, I'm with that lady. Very much with her on that. Besides, it's our second amendment, you know, our right to carry a gun to protect ourselves for many reasons, you know, which is self-protection. Yes, there's the hunting topic they always bring up, but really it was to protect ourselves from just exactly that, tyrannical government. So I think it's very important to have, you know, arm yourself and to push back on that narrative that guns kill people, because it's like, no, people kill people. Are you going to outlaw knives? Are you going to outlaw, you know what I mean? It's a slippery slope. You start banning ways for us to protect ourselves. So I like the clip.
Yeah. Just the other day, there was a bad stabbing attack in Australia with that priest, or I think he might even be, I forget, bishop or something, Monmar Emmanuel. That a bunch of people apparently were stabbed there. There was also another stabbing, I think, in England just the other day. They're going to find a way. Bad people are bad people, especially here, too. Those are places that are kind of cut off. Here, the guns are going to come up from Mexico. They're going to come wherever they come from anyway. So people who are buying their guns illegally aren't worried about gun laws anyway, and they're not worried about going through the hoops of getting it through a gun store. So all you're doing, for the most part, I mean, you know, 95% of, you're just disarming regular citizens, and they have to know that that's not a good idea. Obviously, that can only go the wrong way, which to me, they have to know that already. All the statistics, it's not like we're just being like, we're just trying to make a spin yarn to get, because we want to keep guns. It's literally, you can, if you just look logically at all the situations and all the different situations of places with strict gun laws, not strict gun laws, who's doing the shootings, why they're doing the shootings, how it's happening, what's being reported, what's not reported. It's so clear that stricter gun laws actually lead to worse gun crime. So why would you want more gun laws under the guise of lessening gun crime? They're not stupid. They clearly see the same metrics. They clearly come to the same conclusions, I'm sure, to themselves, which tells me that they want it. They want chaos, I guess. I don't understand any other reason why they would be pushing for this.
Yeah, it's like they all of a sudden go, okay, so the bad guys are coming with knives and guns, whatever weapons you want to say, but we're going to disarm the people that are good people that need it to protect themselves. I mean, I had to look it up. The Second Amendment, it says it shall not be infringed. That's a very strong thing to say at the end of that. It's because they know. It also says a well-regulated militia. So it's not only talking about guns. It's talking about being unified in protecting yourself, being necessary to the security of a free state, a well-regulated militia, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms. So it just, take it for what it is. That's why the Constitution is so wonderful and beautiful. But yeah, disarming the good people is not going to prevent the bad people from getting those very same weapons. It's dumb. And I do agree, Brad, it's done on purpose then. The only logical conclusion would be they do want death and destruction, which should really wake you up. It should really shake people awake and go, what the heck, man? The government's not looking for my good. You know what I mean? It's scary. What was Joe saying about Chicago? There's like this website that keeps track of people, you know, that got shot. You know, they might use that for a talking point, but the point is, I mean, things have gone ridiculous, and people not being able to defend themselves is insane. It's insane. They want to make policies that prevent that.
Yeah, I got to find it. I saved that website he showed me. It was just like a running tally of the crime and gun crime and all the stuff that happens in Chicago, or it might have even been all of Illinois, but most of it coming from Chicago, obviously. And it was Hey Something, like Hey Idiot or something like that. I saved it somewhere. I don't have it right here, but it's totally by design. There's a few different things that happen here. The only big name gun crimes that ever get reported is if like a white guy or a kid does it, right? And they won it. So whenever they could use it to inflame the gun rally to get people to disarm themselves, they're doing it. But they also want the terror of the guns for people to not feel safe. And in those cases, they don't report it. They just let people live in that terror and they don't report it. And it's shown a lot. Obviously, you guys have all seen this 100 times. We've shown this several times. But it is one of the most prophetic things ever put in print. And this is from Bill Cooper's Behold the Pale Horse, which came out in 1991. This stuff wasn't going down like that in 1991 at all, okay? And I just want to read it because we're like 20, 30 years deep of it now. And it started not long after he gave up the ghost. I'd say the first real famous case, what was like Columbine, right? Mm-hmm. And that was in the mid to late 90s.
Printed.
Yeah. And basically, this whole book is really eye-opening, right? The first chapter, he puts in secret weapons for quiet wars, and which is like a government manual that he had seen years ago that had resurfaced that basically shows how they want to mess with the public. And then he goes on, and the rest of Behold the Pale Horse is basically everything he has seen. He basically goes down and puts it in writing. This is how it's set up, and this is what they're looking to do. Take of it what you want. This is from page 225 of Behold the Pale Horse, Chapter 12, The Secret Government. It says the social welfare programs were put into place to create a dependent, non-working element in our society. The government then began to remove these programs to force people into a criminal class that did not exist in the 50s and 60s. Okay, now think like New Deal and stuff like that. And then obviously when they really ramped up the welfare state after that in the 60s, and it was a way to help the poor communities. So they ramped those up, but then they kind of turned them into this sort of, you can't get out of it. I mean, you make enough to get out of it, but then you're working 40 hours a week and you actually kind of have almost less from the benefits. So yeah, it's always obviously good. You want to get to that ceiling, but it's really daunting sometimes. And they kind of put it up like that for a reason. And so that part has totally come to fruition. Then the second part, this is great. The government encouraged the manufacture and importation of military firearms for the criminals to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms, right? They're always trying to make everyone feel so insecure. Anytime there's a shooting, they're going right for the kids, right? Oh, the kids, oh my God, the schoolyards. Everyone wants to protect children. We do too as well. So this is also clearly in motion right now. It says, using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called Orion, the CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. Okay, how many times have you heard kids at the Parkland shooter, right? And we were just talking about making fun of David Hogg. Parkland shooter, he said in those interviews that he was hearing voices. Yeah, and Nicholas Cruz. That he had been hearing voices, that he was, the people were talking to him. He was on psych meds or behavioral meds. I don't know if they're what they're called, but you know, like anxiety medicine and all these different things they're putting kids on nowadays. He was on drugs. He was hearing voices. He allegedly shot up a school. There's also eyewitnesses who said they heard gunshots coming from different parts of the school, talking about two different shooters. There's one girl right away who said she was with him when she heard gunshots. So there's a teacher who said she saw people coming down the hall, full military garb. So one of my theories is that sometimes they actually have the fall guy. For whatever reason, they get this person to come there. And then they tackle them and they make them believe that they did it somehow or however, but that they go in and do it. It was the same thing in El Paso. There's a Mexican lady who was there and she said there was three people dressed in all black who were doing the shooting. Yet the kid who got tackled was just like a young white kid in khakis, right? So I'm not sure how they pull it off 100%. I don't know if it's always the same, but you know, these are interesting things. But again, using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients, process called Orion, CIA, inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards, inflaming the anti-gun lobby. Plan is well underway, and so far is working perfectly. The middle class is begging the government to do away with the Second Amendment. Boy, if he thought it was underway in 1991, he should have lived to see nowadays. Now, I will say the last part here, he says, he also found the events indeed happened all over the country. In every instance, he investigated the instance of the women's school in Canada, shopping center in Canada, Stockton, California massacre, and the murder of Rabbi Meir Khan. The shooters were all ex-mental patients or current mental patients who were all on the drug Prozac. So when he's saying mental patients, you know, it was probably considered a big thing to be on Prozac back then. Now everyone's given Prozac, Xanax, everything, you know. They just throw it at you. Because this drug, when taken in certain doses, increases the serotonin level in a patient, causing extreme violence. Couple that with post-synaptic suggestion or control through an electronic brain implant or a microwave or ELF intrusion, and you can get mass murder. So if you're raising the extreme violence in someone, you're making them a little unstable, you're stressing them out. Society is very stressing these days, guys. It really is. And who knows what they can do, you know, Bluetooth type things, if they can do ELF or skull to something to skull technology. Who knows how they're doing it? All I know is this is happening, and he freaking warned us about it, and it is like happening on steroids right now.
On steroids. Legit. Yeah, when you're going through this, I mean, you know, people might not agree, but I suggest you look into it. If you look into MKUltra, when they did do those programs, they did target medical facilities, specifically mental facilities with mental patients. So it is possible that is when the CIA could have injected themselves into to do these things. I definitely believe that there have been some that have been mind controlled, like the Manchurian candidate. It's, at least by my research, it's been proven. There has been enough evidence for me to conclude it is possible, and they can use it as a tactic to bring about what they want, maybe to willingly give up firearms, like William Cooper said right here. So legit, I love how he puts it out there like that. But yeah, I think that, I'm not saying all school shootings are done that way, but I do feel like there may have been a few. And if they haven't been actually orchestrated, I definitely see the press polarizing the subject and creating a huge thing out of it so they can get what they want as well. So yeah, very prophetic of William Cooper to say this way back then.
Right. Yes, 100%. And like you're saying, that's a good point, right? So say that they're not being put on. I think there's a little bit of putting on operations, right? But even if they're not, you're in a country, a huge country, right? 340 million people with tons of stress and tons of all this stuff, cracking down on people. They're all literally, again, they're being thrown Xanax and Prozac and Ritalin at freaking drop of a hat. as well. There's also not a lot of parental guidance anymore. Kids are kind of being raised by the state as their parents are working two jobs, just barely make it through. There's a whole lot of things going on to where things will happen. And if all it takes is the news to amplify something, you can take something that really is a low number and you can amplify it into a huge thing. Like for instance, my good buddy, Cujo Bad Dog in the, I believe you said it. Yes. He's talking about the stats for white people being, shot by police more than blacks and minorities. That is true. About double. White people are killed by cops about double as much. It's funny though. I think it's more of a class problem, because when you look at statistics of white people to black people in the country, right, it way more than double the amount of white people than black people. So they would say their argument would be, well, statistically speaking, percentage wise, blacks are shot more. But I don't think that's telling the true thing. Now, most people who find themselves in a situation to even be in a tussle with the police that could lead to some sort of violence, typically you're more in a more desperate situation. You're probably, maybe you just robbed a convenience store, or you're doing something, you know, like Michael Brown, or these people, you know, Freddie Gray, he was crack dealer running from the cops. You know, Trayvon Martin, there's thoughts that he was potentially casing that neighborhood to rob it, or who knows. With a lot of these different things, these are people who are kind of like monetarily lower class, right? But living below the poverty line, typically you're being a little more, you're doing things that are a little more risky to get money. Well, if you look at the statistics for people living below the poverty line, it's about 8 million African Americans living below the poverty line, about 16 million white Americans living below the poverty line, which does track with the shot by police numbers. Those are about double for white people, and living under the poverty line's about double for white people. So I think it's more of a class issue. And again, I don't agree with everyone. I think it's an individual case basis, but a lot of these people, they put themselves, you're putting yourself in a dangerous situation. Sometimes that stuff happens and it's tragic all around, even for the cop. You know, I'm sure he doesn't feel great for the most part. Most cops probably horrified when stuff like that goes down. But I think it's more of a class thing than a race thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I had to write it down. I was thinking, I learned about that, you know, when I was in, you know, homeschool, obviously, learning about the classes and learning about the different levels of income and the poverty levels and things like that. And it's not offensive when you're speaking truth, right? And that's the thing, is I think a lot of times we're afraid to speak of these subjects because we don't want to be, you know, targeted or said we were being racist or we were being discriminatory or whatever. But the thing is, what I really see is those lower classes, most of them have really broken homes. And the broken homes, and we've talked about this before, this has to do about a working family unit. They don't have a dad at home anymore. It's like a single mom or even a single dad, whatever. More often than not, good morals and values are not really passed on. So it's even more of a thing. It has to do with just, it's just like a spiral, really, is what happened. So, you know, if we could really fix families, you know, help teach those moral codes, help bring these people out of these situations, but again, not giving them the handouts and stuff, teaching them to respect themselves, to work hard. We are all created equal and you can do it. I think we really, to fix all that issue, especially with the race, that they always want to bring it to racism, it's not that. It's fixing a broken system, I guess you could say. And I think we're doing that. I've seen so many people from the Hispanic community, the Black community, that are just done with this crap. They want to move forward. They don't like the race crap either, same as us. We're like, what the heck is that about? They're always trying to trigger us. They're always trying to divide us. But we see past that. And but yeah, again, how you see past that, you got to look at statistics. And they do speak a lot. And so I think knowledge is how we get through it. It is sad, though. It is very sad. And I do hope things do change for the better.
Oh, yeah. No, without a doubt. And they can. I think that's what we're trying to do here. I honestly, I think the system purposely keeps people poor in this country. And when they're looking at like the white man, the evil white man, like it's all a ruse. That evil white man is keeping us down too, idiot. And then the only people they run to on the streets are other poor white people. And then they're like, yo, whitey, why are you keeping us down? And then that poor white person is probably poorer than them. Is like, what are you talking about? Why are you keeping me down? And then everyone fights, and the actual man, who is many different colors at the top, looks down and goes, nice, pit the poor against the poor. I've been doing this since the Roman Empire. Works every time. And that's why, yeah, like Galulu said, I was trying to be politically correct. No, definitely not. I think it should be known that there are twice as many poor people who are white than black, twice as many white people who were shot than black. And I just say, I think that's the correlation there. So meaning that I don't think cops are targeting black people. I just think, when you're living below the poverty line, you wind up putting yourself in more precarious situations, and sometimes you can get shot. It's sad, but it's the most unpopular opinion ever. I don't even know why I'm going to do this to myself and say it out loud again. But even Ashley Babbitt, my heart goes out to her, but she was crawling through a broken window to go to the final breach of the Capitol. I think it was excessive that she was shot. I think that was absolutely ridiculous, but she put herself in that situation. And it's so sad. The whole situation is ridiculously sad, but we can't be like talking about like, oh, Michael Brown put himself in that situation, tried to grab the gun from the cop and he robbed the convenience store. And then on the other hand, we're trying to be like, oh, justice for Ashley Babbitt, who again, I believe was a good person. And I think it's really sad what happened to her, but she put herself in that situation. What do you think is going to happen? They have the whole thing locked down, right? They're in there. There's 100,000, probably 1 million people outside who literally are online every day talking about how much they hate you. You hate your politics. They're bearing down on the Capitol. The inside, the final thing is locked. They're already in the front part of the Capitol. The final thing is locked. And if someone breaks a window and she's climbing and they're climbing through it, that's literally why you pay security guards. Now, I think it was excessive. I think he should have just went up there and been like, pushed her back through. And obviously, she wasn't armed, nothing. And I think he probably took a little bit of extra. He probably liked it. To be honest, these people are assholes. I think he would have liked it because he's a Democrat and he probably hates freaking Republicans and evil MAGA. It probably made him feel good to do it. And I think it's disgusting. But nevertheless, she put herself in that situation. So it's like a hard thing. And I think that's a lot of things. A lot of these things, again, same thing with like people being shot by cops. They put themselves in a situation, but and it happens, and it sucks, and there are corrupt cops, but for the most part, they're probably justified, most of them, and it goes along poverty lines. And that's why there's double the amount of white people than black people, because there are double the amount of white people living on the poverty line, which is never even remotely mentioned in the news. They have everyone, they have pretty much people thinking that white people live like the Jetsons while in America, while black people just live in like alleyways. It's like manipulative and insane.
Oh yeah, about that. That is it's a brainwash tactic to make them just hate us because of our color. It's the most, like, if you actually step back, like, from both sides, I don't care. Racism in general, for that reason, is hilarious. Because if an alien came down, you're like, why are you guys fighting? oh, because their skin's a different color. Like, for real, bro? For real, bro. Like, and again, I know there's statistics and things like that, but yeah, we are way above that. We are way past that. Most Americans, especially today, that support Trump and, you know, the freedom movement, we don't even see race anymore. And it's the true, we don't see race. You know, we see them, but it's not like we're not gonna come with these predisposed judgments. And we see the real enemy in front of us and the tactics that they do. And yeah, also, Brad, I do understand your point about at the Capitol. People need to learn now, from now on, to be very safe, be smart about what we're doing. I take this battle very seriously. So very much protect yourself online, in the public. You know, make sure what you're doing can't be used against you. Live in the light. Speak truth. And, you know, obviously, trust God. I'm always doing that every day. I'm like, all right, God, let's go. But I definitely agree with everything you said.
Yeah. And again, dude, I'm not saying I'm glad what happened at the Capitol shooting. And yeah, people were making good points. So right, there were cops behind there and stuff like that. I get all that. And she was unarmed. But I mean, obviously, you don't know when someone's halfway through a window. I'm not justifying his actions. I think it was way excessive, but I think she made a big mistake putting herself in that situation. And man, when you put yourself in those sorts of situations, bad things can happen. And that was a really sad thing. And again, yeah, like, her family seems wonderful. I'm sure she was wonderful. And it's just a really sad situation all around. But as far as being shot by cops, especially with the really big cases that they only want to prop up, white cop shoots black man, ever in the news, they put themselves in bad situations. That these aren't, you know, even with George Floyd. He asked to come out to lay on the ground. Okay, it's not like they make it sound like they threw him on the ground. The guy was he was unfortunately ODing. This was proven in court, but he was just using counterfeit money. What are the cops supposed to do? And it turned into a bad situation. Personally, I watched that video. You know, I think he could have let up, but maybe he couldn't have. I don't know. Maybe there was pressure and they were afraid of something. I don't know. But I do think he was held them down a little bit more. But it's the fact that they didn't go into work that day saying, hey, I'm going to go kill someone. You know, it was, again, someone committed a crime first and put themselves in a bad situation. Dude, anything can happen. That's why probably the best way to prevent that is don't put yourself in a bad situation, not to disarm cops or to totally do all the weird things that they want to do. Don't commit crimes. Don't put yourself in shitty situations. And that probably won't happen. But anyway, that's as far as, to go circle back to the lady's comment to David Hogg, as far as full disarmament, that is the worst idea ever. And I like how she wrapped it up and basically was like, dude, if you can't tell me that these guys won't turn to a tyrannical government, I would never give it up. She saw it. She saw tens of millions of people were killed under Mao Zedong. And you know, that's a whole, think about it. It was probably all along a party line, like a whole ideology was wiped out. If you kill 20 million people, these are a whole ideology. So that would be like right now, if someone, a dictator came and they just didn't like libertarians. And just imagine every libertarian, every outspoken libertarian in the entire country being murdered right now. And then all of a sudden that train of thought is kind of just goes away, you know? And then there's probably another 20 million who were like, whoa, I am never uttering that again. And they don't ever speak it. So then it doesn't, their thoughts and ideas don't get passed along. And the 20 million who were murdered, they never get to do it again. So so there was a whole way of thinking that was wiped out of China at that point as well. So you're not just killing physical people, you're also killing ideas and notions. But I don't blame that lady.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, remember with George Floyd, I think out of that came the defund the police. I was thinking about that. Just because there's a one bad apple doesn't mean that the rest is all instantly bad. We always need to remember that. And how, again, they took a topic, they polarized it, and they wanted everybody to hate cops, which is technically law and order. Good cops, right? We need good cops. Good cops are what brings order. And honestly, holding up good morals and all of that stuff, which is the reverse of demoralization, is what we've all fallen into. They want to demoralize all of us and have no order and no cops and no one has guns except for big government that controls everything. So, you know, we need to definitely be aware of that. But yeah, I ain't ever giving up my guns. I'm just going to say that straight up. I am a constitutionalist. I believe in that. And this is just the deal. Like, if people ever want to really quite literally make those illegal, I can't. We even literally use them here for hunting. Okay. And I'm not going to say that's the excuse, but there's for no freaking way. So anybody that supports that garbage, you should definitely give them a side eye and go, why is the reason you want to take my gun away? Like, honestly.
I know, it's like the most easily discernible thing. I don't even own guns, and yeah. I could understand why they want to disarm people, why you would never want to ever give them up. It's pretty ridiculous. Well, one thing I wish I owned was Bitcoin.
Oh,
but you guys can get in on the fun right now with our first sponsor. Looking to diversify your assets and jump into the Bitcoin fun? Introducing River, the official Bitcoin partner of Badlands Media, where you can navigate the world of Bitcoin with confidence. River is licensed and regulated right here in the United States and has a live on-demand support center to ensure that your Bitcoin journey is smooth and secure so you can buy Bitcoin like a pro. River also eliminates unwanted surprises and third-party custodians, putting you in control of your assets. And with no minimum purchase required to open an account, you can get your Bitcoin journey started for just $1. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/river to create your account today. That's badlandsmedia.tv/river. Shaping the future of finance, one Bitcoin at a time.
The Flex Tactical by Energy is the most rugged and ready portable power station on the market. Recently, Energy won contracts from the U.S. Army and Air Force to create a modular solar power station suitable for field and combat operations. We designed the Tactical for heavy-duty use in extreme environments. It is the most durable, versatile, portable power station ever built. Do you want the peace of mind that comes with knowing you have the most advanced, emergency-ready, durable, portable solar power solution? Do you want a power station that you know will be there in almost any condition? Order your Flex Tactical Edition today. Take charge of your safety and be ready for anything.
All right. Yes. Thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors here at Badlands. And also thank you to our buddy, Average Joe Patriot. Good to see you, brother. Me and Abby were on his rapid fire news last night. It was a good time in case you guys missed it, but he sent over the site. It's heyjackass.com. And yeah, this Dang. Is not going to get reported right here. Total homicides already in Chicago, 152. I feel like that's up from last night. Maybe something happened today. I don't know. But yeah, dude, it's they want to foster a feeling of uneasiness, right? This is intended. They wanted to manufacture and importation of military firearms for criminals to use. Now, there's also... You know, maybe I'll go look for it real quick because I put a little montage together years ago of just different people who lived in like different like Chicago and LA and like different ghetto areas where they were, well, the ghetto areas of those cities, And they were saying that in the 90s, there would just be boxes of guns right by the train stations and stuff. And people would be finding boxes of guns all the time. And that goes right along with this. And so they used to thought it was weird. And talking about like straight up, I believe like fully automatic and stuff like that. So that is, there is a chance where, what's the best way to get people to one disarm? Give impoverished people who might be part of gangs and stuff lots of guns, let them loose, and then let the public go, oh my god, we gotta get rid of guns.
And do it every time. I remember as a kid growing up and hearing that in news. You know, I'm not like crazy old, but I'm not crazy young either, guys. Right in between. But it's happened for a long time now. And because of how I see things now, I see it as a program, the gun shooting violence program that they're running out on the American public. And it is to cause fear. So I think the biggest thing, you know, to oppose that is get a gun, figure out how to use it, learn how to use it. Don't be afraid of it. It's not the gun that is the thing that you should fear. It is the criminal with bad intentions in their heart. And like I said, it's usually has to do with demoralization. These people don't have good morals. They have gone astray as far as being a good human on this earth. And it's sad, but we can't fix them. But what we can do, you know, is arm ourselves. And Brad, I actually put that part. Joe, you had mentioned that William Cooper tribute I put out. I do have a part, exactly that part when he talks about that. And if you ever guys, you know, if you want to have a fun time, guys, I'm telling you, look into the CIA and mind control and Manchurian candidates and all of that. It'll blow your mind. And that was around like the 50s, 60s and into the 70s, possibly, all this kind of stuff. And then it just vanished and stopped. And mind control is not real. Moving on. And you're like, no. I think something happened there. So I do feel they discovered how to successfully control a candidate and to get them to do what they want, either by a trigger word, code, could be a touch, could be a pinch, the story with Bobby Kennedy. If you guys look into that possible Manchurian candidate situation, there's just so much. I could go on for days about it, but yeah, it's definitely something that a tool that could be used by the deep state to further their goal of disarmament, which is pretty scary, but don't have fear. Yeah. Did you find it?
Yes,
sir. It looks like it could have been manufactured. So just to give you guys an idea, this isn't so far-fetched here.
Along the train tracks.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, Uzis. Like fully automatic gun, bro. Like just sitting there for people to find. Little kids in the ghetto throwing rocks on the train tracks, what they do, stumble across a whole barrel of guns.
So you think the government Absolutely. Left them there? Have you heard of any such thing?
Mm-hmm.
In Long Beach?
Not in Long Beach, but Watts, Compton. Yeah, they bring a train out there just full of guns, you know?
And just have at it.
People just hit the train and, you know, next thing you know, you'll hear some hood somewhere, you know, selling, you know, new nines for 300, you know what I'm saying? Or they got AKs over here for 700 and, you know, just like, yeah, it was always mysterious crates of weapons popping up throughout the ghetto.
He said, when I got there, I seen like a little cardboard box with a triangle on it. He said, I opened it and no lie, I swear on my mother, he said this. He seen four Glocks in there with 30 round clips and two big boxes of ammo just sitting in the cardboard box. Carlos pulls up walking. He's like, what the hell's that? Mike's like, yeah, you won't believe what I found. He lifts up the the box, the lid of the box, four Glocks, 30 round clips. The clips, the magazines ain't even in them. They're outside the gun. The bullets, two big boxes of bullets, he says. I'm like, wow. So that, so I guess Carlos is like, damn. Mike's like, yo, should we, what should we do? Is keep these? Should we turn these in? He's like, fuck that. We ain't turning these in, Carlos. That, you heard about the guys that turned in the guns a couple months ago? And this is true. Some guys from Chicago found a crate of guns at, by the train. And they go and turn them in. And the cops try to put the guns on them. And freaking, they end up leaving or whatever. They couldn't pin the guns on them. The next day, the same guy that found the guns reports that the guns were back in the same spot near the trains. Now, who else can put them back in the same spot near the trains when that guy brought it to the cops? So Carlos and my boy Mike was like, nah, fuck that. We ain't gonna bring it to the police now. The police probably put it there in the first place. This stuff been happening for the longest time. People are just starting to wake up to it now. All the OGs already know, the older people, the young OGs are just starting to wake up to it right now.
Growing up in Chicago in the early 90s, the same situation was happening. I've been in Chicago where a person came into my house and knocked on the door to come and get me early in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, and said, come with me, man. It's a crate of guns in the alley. And I got up and ran out there, and sure enough, there was a crate of guns. And during that time when we in it, you're not thinking about where did the guns just come from. You know, you never think about that type of stuff, like where did the guns come from and why are they here? But now that I'm older, I can kind of tell you that it's a diabolical plot. Nothing has stopped. The guns are still there. The guns are still being placed in these different strategic communities.
So yeah, this guy goes on for a while talking about it, but and there's even more. There's more clips you can see of ex-gang members or just people from those neighborhoods saying that they're crates of guns. And I guess, you know, they're like, oh, well, how to beat the cops. I mean, yeah, there might be some dirty cops involved, but I think it's way above that. And again, I think most cops are good people. Most cops I've ever known in my life, actually, most people I know, cops were all NYPD, and they were all great people that with honestly wanted to make a difference in the community. And, you know, there's maybe, again, there's obviously bad apples and everything. And there might even be, like, bad cops who are hooked up with whatever this is going on. But this is above that, dude. This is, like, New World Order trying to disarm America stuff right here, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, it's a, like how he said, it's a diabolical plot. And it just, it's so like them. You know what I mean? Like, they just set guns somewhere. You know, like, there's nothing to it. You just place guns. Interesting that many of them said crate. Crates are specific. You know, they're the wooden, the one kid said a box, cardboard box. But I mean, people don't just, you know, misplace guns like that. That's definitely set there for people to find, I would assume. And, you know, maybe kids on the not so good side of the tracks, whatever. And like I mentioned before, you know, they're on things like we know now, all these children on these psych meds. And like I said, my research in MKUltra, this is, it's the same stuff. They're like lower doses, but it's the same stuff. And then if you have somebody get a triggered episode and then they have a gun in their hands, well, they might do something. And so this is a very eye-opening. I had never heard that, Brad. That's like pretty wild to see them all say that. And how that one kid's like, you know, the OGs know, like, and the young ones are just learning. And I'm like, what the heck? How long has this been going on?
Right. Yeah. Cause the way he was talking about it, it's like a thing that's known around the neighborhood. And I think there are a lot of the reason why, you know, you have a lot of them speaking out, but the reason why everyone isn't speaking out is because, well, you know, they probably want to use them or they want to like, oh, cool. You know, shit, don't tell anyone. And so it's kind of, a self-perpetuating situation. But all in all, legal gun owners, for the most part, are the best thing to make a society safe ever. If you know you're in a town, like if I'm in, say, a place in Texas where I know damn near every person I'm passing on the street most likely has a gun on them, guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to try and mess with them and or rob them and or anything with them, because it's just crazy. Now, if I'm walking around the street in New Jersey where I know guns are pretty much, I mean, they make it like you have to sign over one of your kidneys just to get one. There's a lot better chance if I'm a criminal, I'm not going to feel I'm not going to feel apprehensive to go try and rob someone or mess with someone or do whatever. So it's a no-brainer. And again, I got to tell you, like, the gun violence in these places, like Chicago has really heavy gun laws. They still have gun crime. Doesn't matter. And now you can say, yeah, a lot of it's probably from these crates of guns. But then there's also just other ways that you can get guns in other ways. And they always will be able to. And even if guns were completely eradicated from the world, they'd be finding bombs or knives or freaking swords. If you have, there's a will, there's a way. And you're never going to totally just outlaw bad people. You could make as many laws as you want. Bad people are going to do what they're going to do. It's already illegal to murder someone. It's already illegal to rob someone. All these things already are illegal. So what's the next step going to do? It's not going to change anything.
I agree. I was trying to find it. I probably can't find it in time. That there was at one point this town that was rated. You know how they do the ratings of the safest towns in America? There was one town, and I don't know the year, that was rated one of the safest towns in America. And I believe it was the mayor of that town made it a law that you had to have a gun. Everybody had to have a gun. And they did. The press did not want to consider that's the reason why, but everyone there was like, yeah, of course it's low crime because everybody knows everyone's backing. You ain't going to want to rob the house next door because they also have a shotgun. You know what I mean? So, you know, people just need to expand their thinking and consider what we're talking about. Should you ever prevent a human from defending themselves? That's really what it comes down to. And the answer is no. No, you should always have the ability to defend yourself. Heck, man, if they make like those freaking power suit armor in the future, I want one, man. You know, honestly, I felt like it's weird that, and I know people might be against this, but I think automatics should be allowed. I think they're cool. Are you going to use them out hunting? No. But are they cool and could protect you? Yeah. Because they'll put a lot of bullets out really fast to protect you. So, you know, some people might think that's a little too extreme. I think it's fine. I think we should all be able to use the best manufactured weapons that can help defend ourselves out there. And I don't think it should only be the only few that can have these things. So anyways, I don't know, Brad, what do you think? Do you think automatics are cool? I mean, semi-automatics are cool too, but just... in general.
Oh yeah, I think they're all cool, and obviously, you know, they're cool because they're cool if you're a good person and you wanted to defend your house. Obviously, it's not cool if you're gonna commit a crime with them. But yeah, I think they're awesome. I think it should all be legal. I don't think any of it should be illegal. My interpretation of the Second Amendment is that I should be allowed to have a freaking M1 Abrams tank in my driveway if I want. That's just, you know, I just my interpretation.
Yes.
And again, there's lots of people. Guess what? It's hard to commit crime in a town full of guns. Utah Money Mover has this town here, Kennesaw, Georgia. And every head of household residing in the city limits is required to maintain a firearm. Let's see if we get this on screen here.
This could be it. I just remember it was really, really cool. I thought, that's a badass thing to do.
Yeah. It's also a similar law was passed in the city of Virgin, Utah, making it the second city in the United States to require residents to own guns. So it was in order to provide for the emergency management of the city, and further in order to provide and protect safety, security, and general welfare of the city of inhabitants. Every head of household residing in the city limits is required to maintain a firearm together with ammunition, therefore. Wow. That is...
That's my kind of
tamper. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. Here is... This is a... I think this was around like 2018 time that this was put out, but it's a pretty famous compare contrast. Houston and Chicago have roughly similar populations, similar median households, similar minority to white percentages, right? And so, and they're concealed carry. Chicago, no. Houston, yes. Number of gun stores. Chicago, zero, unless you count the side of the train track. Houston, Texas, 184 gun stores plus 1,500 legal places to buy guns like Walmart, Kmart, etc. Homicides in Chicago, 1,800 for that year. You know, 2012. Okay, so this is 2012. Houston, Texas, 207. Homicides per 100,000 people, 38 to 9, well, almost 10. Average high temperature, 31 degrees to 61. Administration conclusion, global warming leading to inexplicable temperature drops in northern hemisphere here causes huge increase in murder rates. I think it's the opposite. Honestly, I feel like people are more agitated in the heat than the cold. People usually just stay in their house for the cold. So it's actually, technically, probably should be even opposite. But that's a famous one. And then I got one more here. I always thought this was a great, great view by Stefan Molyneux. He states, if you're for gun control, then you're not against guns, because the guns will be needed to disarm people. So it's not that you're anti-gun. You'll need the police's guns to take away the other people's guns. So you're very pro-gun. You just believe that only the government, which is, of course, so reliable, honest, moral, and virtuous, should be allowed to have guns. There is no such thing as gun control. There is only centralizing gun ownership in the hands of a small political elite and their minions. Absolutely true, okay? That is, I think, such a great point that people don't... The people who think they're for gun control... don't consider this, especially it's usually a left-wing lobby, and left-wing lobbies are anti-cops. So which one is it? Are you anti-gun? Are you anti-cops? Do you think cops are excessively killing minorities and really these terrible people with guns? Or do you think they should be the only ones with guns? They're the two complete most opposite things on earth. So... I think it's a great statement.
Right, because the government's not going to not have guns, right? What was that? I can't remember. Do you remember what it was like? Was through the Obama administration, possibly, don't quote me on this, but them arming more of our federal government with guns. And they're all pro for that and bunch of weapons, whatever. But when it comes to us, the citizens, we shouldn't have guns. And they're very much for that. They don't even dance around it anymore. You know, what's his name? That's all washed up now. I'm coming for your AR-15s or whatever.
Oh, Beto. Yeah. Yeah, he's Beto. He's like, oh, we're not coming for your AR-15s. Hell yes, we're coming for your AR-15s. Or was it AR-14s, as Joe Biden likes to so wonderfully call them. Oh my gosh, dude. I think this is, I have another one of a clip that I always like that I would love to play for you guys. Let's see if we get this
Let's do this. Yeah,
check this out.
Presented statement, sir. Say you support confiscating guns from individuals determined to be a threat to themselves or others. Determined to be. So by this legislation my colleagues are putting forth, my understanding of the letter of that law, which I 1,000% oppose, as would our founding fathers, the letter of that law says an anonymous tip from a citizen. So if this was law, Commissioner, would you confiscate, would you go to your neighbor's home and confiscate his legally owned weapons, a man that was not under criminal investigation nor under arrest? Would you do it?
The red flag laws would.
That's a yes or no, brother. I got 5 minutes to make an hour and a half statement here.
It's more than a yes or no answer.
We'll move on then. If you cannot say yes, you would confiscate weapons from an American citizen that was subject to this law that my colleagues intend to push through this Congress, then you said in your statement that you would confiscate those weapons if an American was determined to be, your quote, a threat to themselves or others. According to that law, determined to be is defined by an anonymous tip that an American citizen, a threat to themselves or others. You're a police commissioner, a thin blue line brother, sworn to uphold the Constitution, and you're saying you'd see those weapons. I see that as a problem. I'm going to bring us back in time to World War II. America's population, 140 million. 15 million American men came home from World War II with deep scars and significant skills. They bore the invisible wounds of war. And there was weapons everywhere. We'll talk about mental challenge. My father was one of those men who was a Navy pilot in World War II. He came back from the war and built his family. I'm the seventh of his eight children. I was born in 1961. We had guns everywhere. There was virtually no regulation. Any child in the 50s could buy a weapon from any seller if daddy sent them with the money. We didn't have mass shootings. It wasn't until 1968 in America that serial numbers were even required on weapons sold in this country. You order weapons through the Sears catalog by the mail. 70s, I attended a high school, large rural school. Virtually every vehicle in the parking lot was a pickup truck, and almost everyone had a rifle or a shotgun on the back glass and a pistol in under the seat. And we didn't have school shootings. 1979, I began college. One of the jobs I had to work my way through college was as a carpenter. We restored historical buildings. We had to determine in the process of that work what was the original cuts of these homes, residential homes, built 75, 85, 100 years ago. You could tell by the saw cut if it was a mechanical cut, an electric cut, or a hand cut. By such observations, we knew exactly how that house was originally built. And to my amazement, as a young man beginning college in Louisiana, working, to my amazement, you know what I discovered, Madam Chair? You know what these houses did not have that were built 100 years ago in cities in America? You know what they did not have, Commissioner? Locks. Locks. Now I ask you all, what happened to that country, man? A country where homes were built in cities with no locks. A country where guns were everywhere and virtually not regulated at all. Where millions of Americans, 14 million Americans came back. It's 11% of the population at the time after World War II with incredible skills of war and weapons of war, as you call them, everywhere. But we didn't have mass shootings. And here we sit today, where an entire once proud Democratic Party is presenting unbelievably unconstitutional laws to press upon our nation. And we have a police commissioner that says he would go home to home and confiscate legally owned weapons if he got a tip. Madam Chair, I yield my speech, but I will not yield my opposition to these unconstitutional laws.
Yeah, I think I love his telling of back in the day and what it was like, and just the difference. It really serves to the point that a free society where people are free to protect themselves is a much safer society. It's tried and true.
Oh yeah, 100%. I just like how he made it real there, because I was like, oh, we're going down story lane. All right, what a great. I'd never seen that before. I love how he said after World War II there was guns everywhere, and if anybody would have had mental problems, it would have been all those vets that came back. Right, everything was fine. Everything was fine. And then he goes on to the no locks. You kind of understand a little bit of that here, Brad. We're so remote here that until recently, the houses, people didn't even have to lock their doors or nothing like that. Or you could leave your cars, you know, or keys in the car and not worry about that. Now, things obviously have changed, but I love how he's like, what happened to that America? What has happened to that, you know, that trust? And really, it does come down to people having the means to protect themselves kind of brings law and order. If everybody has a weapon, if everybody has an ability to protect themselves, nobody's going to want to mess with you. And I say it works. We should just bring that back and see how it goes. It seems like crime goes down, death goes down. People have safer lives, and people, I think, should feel good about themselves that they do know how to handle a gun and they do know how to protect themselves. I love guns as a woman because I feel like, hey, it doesn't matter if the most beefiest man comes along, whatever. I got my Glock. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, I show the gun, maybe shoot in the air. Like, hopefully I would never have to shoot somebody. But just having that means I am protected. And I, you know, that's what America, being American, is all about, being independent. Being safe, being free. And there definitely is a war on guns. Definitely. And I definitely push back on that. It's a great clip, Brad. I love that.
Yeah. And dude, and like you were saying, like being a woman, it makes you feel safer. Mm-hmm. I always think like all these people who want to disarm guns are always talking about like the rape culture. There's such a rape culture. Meanwhile, I've never met anyone in my life who's like down with rape. Very much universally despised act. I know it happens. It's certainly not denying that it happens. It does, and it's disgusting. But like, there's not a culture of it. Everyone hates it. But nevertheless, they'll talk about how rape happens way too much and people are scared, and I don't blame them. And it's like, dude, well then why are you against guns? I honestly, they should all have guns in their purses. I am all for it. As someone who's not worried about, you know, pushback on a rape, because I'm not going to rape anyone, I think all women should have guns in their purses. I think it's just a way of safety, or at least like mace or something like that, at the very least. But nevertheless, it's they take terrible tragedies and they spin them up to kind of meet a certain goal, which we believe is to disarm people. They've very made it clear they don't like us. They don't like us very much. They're constantly making it so everything's too expensive. You go barely freaking, you can barely run your house even with two working parents now. Yeah. And now you also, they want to disarm us. I think really terrible things would happen. If America was fully disarmed, I think they would let it sit for a good decade. These people paid a long game. I think there would be a good decade of programming, how much safer it is. And sure, if they're not putting on any more of their operations, I think there would be a lot less things. And all they have to do is brush it under the rug, right? Because as we were showing with the one website, it's just a singular example, too, is this right here. This is just Chicago. This is going on in lots of places across the country where none of this is being reported. So literally all they would have to do is, if second they banned guns, just for like a good solid 10 years, just stop reporting. Just take the few cases a year that you report to make everyone scared and just put them back into this pile that doesn't get reported. And then there would be like a sense of, we did it. We stopped gun crime. And then the pain would come and nothing would ever be the same. And it would be so ingrained in people not to own guns that you would never be able to stop it. And they would just do whatever they want. I think you would have a terrible dictatorship would grow out of that.
Yeah, it's a psychological warfare. And like you always mention, manufactured consent. Make them think it's their idea. And over time, they'll believe it and everyone will forget. But yeah, definitely, you know, now more than ever, stay sharp and think for yourself and go, no, I do want to have a gun. I don't want to give that up. So, you know, it's okay to push back on that. Don't feel bad for pushing back on that. It was such a normal thing to have guns in the past. They did like classes in public schools about it. When I was a kid, you know, we were raised in Alaska. I shot guns at a young age. We learned gun safety. Even here locally, they still do gun safety classes and things like that for the kids at the schools. So I think it's good. I think it's really good. Again, it just also teaches responsibility, and you don't have that fear of the gun. You actually have confidence now and you feel protected. And that's definitely the route we need to take. But yeah, the manufactured consent, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it.
Yes. Well, thank you guys for our little riot on guns. I also shout out to the... Shout out to the foxhole. Someone asked, is Red Pill right? Yes, he's all right. He was having trouble, I think, with his internet today, but he probably should be back tomorrow. And thank you guys. Looking here. Thank you guys for hanging out. We do have one more wonderful sponsor that we're going to play for you. And then we're gonna leave you out here with an oldie but a goodie of who's now the Lieutenant General. The Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson. But this is a viral clip of his from before he did the right thing, right? He was upset about something. He said, you know what? I'm running for office. And he freaking got it. But this is when he was just a citizen. We'll leave you out with that. But first, one last message from our sponsors. And hey, our first donation, Kitsko. Oh my God, just woke up from a coma nap. We'll watch replay, promise. Well, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you.
And we love you guys. We love all you guys. Even Cujo Bad Dog, me and him got into it a little bit the other day. But also, remember, since I make all the shows, I get to see Cujo. I saw you in the rug pull chat and, you know, talking a lot of crap in a lot of those shows. So I kind of just hit my breaking point the other day. But we love you guys. And yes, even the ones that we like to go back and forth with. No, you're not banned from anything, Cujo. You're not banned from
everything's
anything.
Everything's okay.
Yeah. Take care, guys. We love you. Attention, all Badlanders with purring pals and feathered friends. Say hello to Love Litters. 100% kiln-dried wood, free from chemicals, and oh so kind to Mother Earth. No dust, no mess, and no toxins. Just a lightweight solution that's gentle on your wallet and even gentler in your home. Love Litter's biodegradable litter is crafted from wood destined for landfills, giving it a new purpose in your pet's life. Cats absolutely love it. The astonishing formula works like magic to neutralize that notorious cat urine odor, keeping your home pine fresh and welcoming. For bird lovers, it zaps moisture from bird droppings, crumbling them away, all while being safe if pecked at or ingested. for reptiles and critters too. Love Litter's mix is crafted to dilute the pine scent, ensuring those little lungs stay happy and healthy. Plus, every 30-pound bag of Love Litter's will last up to 6 months, saving you money. So transform your pet care routine today by visiting badlandsmedia.tv/litter. That's badlandsmedia.tv/litter. And breathe easy with a litter that loves your pet as much as you do.
In today's fast-paced world, peace of mind is priceless. That's where Badlands Media steps in. Preparing for life's uncertainties is about being ready for anything, right where you are. Welcome to the Badlands Media Shop. We've partnered with Patriot companies offering products that empower you to prepare for any eventuality comfortably from your home. The Badlands Media Shop has everything you need to secure your peace of mind. Browse the virtual aisles. Prepare your family for the year ahead with products you can trust from companies that share your values. Whether it's growing your own food or prepping long-term storage, protecting your family, or stocking up on emergency supplies, we've got you covered. Get prepared. Visit Badlands Media Shop at badlandsmedia.tv/shop today. Every purchase supports a freedom-loving business as well as Badlands Media. That's badlandsmedia.tv/shop. Thank you for your continued support.
Really quick, thank you to Scream for Freedom and Burning Bright. I see you. I'll be in Badlands Story Hour momentarily. You guys should all be going over there right now. But last but not least, here we go. If this clip will ever finish uploading. I've been trying to upload this clip for like the last 10 minutes of the show.
We love you guys. Thank you.
So I'm still here. Okay, we're still here. This is the secret extension, right?
Yes. Okay, here we go. This is pretty epic. I'm sure you guys have seen it.
I've heard a whole lot of people in here talking tonight about this group and that group, and domestic violence and blacks, these minorities and that minority. What I want to know is, when are you all going to start standing up for the majority? And here's who the majority is. I'm the majority. I'm a law-abiding citizen who's never shot anybody, never committed a serious crime, never committed a felony. I've never done anything like that. But it seems like every time we have one of these shootings, nobody wants to blame, put the blame where it goes, which is at the shooter's feet. You want to put it at my feet. You want to turn around and restrict my right, constitutional right that's spelled out in black and white. You want to restrict my right to buy a firearm and protect myself from some of the very people you're talking about in here tonight. It's ridiculous. I don't think Rod Serling could come up with a better script. It does not make any sense. The law-abiding citizens of this community and many communities around this country, we're the first ones taxed and the last ones considered and the first ones punished when things like this happens, because our rights are the ones that are being taken away. That's the reason why I came down here today, gun show or no gun show, NRA or no NRA. I'm here to stand up for the law-abiding citizens of this community, because I'm going to tell you that what's going to happen. You can take the guns away from us all you want to. You all write a law, I follow the law, I'll bring my guns down here, I'll turn them in. But here's what's going to happen. The Crips and the Bloods on the other side of town, they're not going to turn their guns in. They're going to hold on to them. And what's going to happen when you have to send the police down there to go take it? The police can barely enforce the law as it is. As what I see, we demonize the police, criminalize and vilify the police, and we make the criminals into victims. And we're talking about restricting guns? How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that when the police department's already hamstrung? You're not going to be able to go down here and take these guns from these criminals.
So the criminals are going to hold on to their guns. They're still going to have them. They're still going to break in my house, and they're still going to shoot me with them. And guess who's going to be the one that suffers? It's going to be me. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, it is not going to happen without a fight. And when I say fight, I don't mean shots fired. I don't mean fist thrown. I mean I'm going to come down here to this city council and raise hell just like these loonies from the left do until you listen to the majority of the people in this city. And I am the majority. The majority of the people in this city are law-abiding. And they follow the law. And they want their constitutional right to be able to bear arms. They want to be able to go to the gun show and buy a hunting rifle or a sport rifle. They're no military-grade weapons sold at the gun show. An AR-15 is not a military-grade weapon. Anybody that would go into combat with an AR-15 is a fool. It's a semi-automatic 22 rifle. You'd be killed in 15 minutes in combat with that thing. So we need to dispel all these myths, and we need to drop all this division that we got going on here. Because the bottom line is, when that Second Amendment was written, whether the framers liked it or not, they wrote it for everybody. And I am everybody. And the law-abiding citizens of this city are everybody. And we want our rights, and we want to keep our rights. And by God, we're going to keep them, come hell or high water.